Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We're going to show forth the praises of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I trust, Lord God, that the message that you have put in my heart to share with this great congregation, hallelujah, at Word of Life Christian Center is going to minister to their inner man, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. I don't take this honor lightly, Lord God, because I recognize the pulpit that I'm standing in, hallelujah. And I'm here, Lord God, in fear and trembling, Lord God, because I know the assignment you have on this ministry, Lord God, hallelujah. A tremendous assignment, a worldwide assignment. It's not just the members here at World of Life Christian Center, but it's worldwide, hallelujah. So I'm humbly stepping into this assignment, and I just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, I'm expecting you to show up because you always do. Because if not, I'm going to have to hide behind this pulpit, which I don't think is going to be the case. But I'm trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start off with a scripture in Romans. And then after I read the scripture and talk about the scripture for a minute or two, then I'm going to give you the text. But turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 8 and 19. Romans 8 and verse 19. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your Bibles, but I hear the pages turning, so I know they got some Bibles in the audience. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle wants us to bring our Bibles. Praise God. There's nothing like the Bible. Praise God. The phone, you can put all kind of apps on the phone, but there's only one word. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into it. Romans 8 and 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God." So here in this verse of scripture says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," or creation, "is waiting for us to manifest." Is waiting for us to take our rightful place as kings and priests, as sons and daughters, as victorious, conquering, triumphant, living a supernatural lifestyle every day of our lives. The political arena is failing. The financial arena is failing. Doctors a lot of times don't know what to do. All these new diseases and stuff that's manifesting. And so they're waiting for somebody to come and give answers to what's happening in this society. And in these last days, God is raising up the church. He's raising us up, hallelujah, as beacons, as lights in a dying world, to be hope, to be deliverance, to be peace and salvation for people, leading them into the Lord, hallelujah, and laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, and just being examples of what a believer is supposed to be in both word and in deed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And one of the things our apostle has been teaching us is how to live, you know, supernatural lifestyles, how to live above the natural. And one of the things I try to always do is I'm not starting no new doctrine, no new teaching. You know, what you hear from me is what you heard from him. I'm just putting my version to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the title of this lesson is going to be Living a Supernatural Lifestyle Every Day. Living a Supernatural Lifestyle every day of our lives. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Thursdays, but every day we want to live a supernatural lifestyle. And when you look at the word super, super means it's a superlative. It means above normalcy. You know, super means, you know, extraordinary. Let me just kind of read some things here. You must see yourself living a supernatural lifestyle or living in the supernatural. If you can't see it, you won't have it. You got to see it. You got to see it through the eye of, you know, really, you got to renew your mind to the fact that God wants us to be supernatural. He wants us to do things above the norm. Hallelujah. Praise God. And actually, it's really already in our spirits, because our spirit is born again. But our soul, our mind, you know, and our bodies have to get in line with what's already on the inside of our spirits. Amen. All right. So let's go to Joshua right quick. I want to show you something that God told Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. You know, even before God had given Joshua and the children of Israel Jericho, he told them to see. He says, I've already given you Jericho. I've already given it to you. Even though the walls were still up, but he told them to see that the walls were down. Joshua 6 and 2. Amen. We'll start at verse 1. It says, now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So, there was no way to get in, no way to get out. But then, verse 2, God speaks. He says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see. He said, see. He says, I have given thee the hands of Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. But the key word here is to see. You know, not so much seeing with your natural eyes, but seeing with your spiritual eyes. You know, so I'm going to give you guys 8 steps or 8 points, however you want to categorize it. On walking a supernatural lifestyle every day. And that first step is you must see yourself living a supernatural lifestyle. You know, if you can't see it, as I stated earlier, you can't have it. Praise God. There, you've got to know that there's more in Christ. We can be at a certain level, but there's always more. So we always want to be seeing what God is doing and see the victory in our lives. See us doing exploits. See us doing things supernaturally, you know. And when you talk about supernatural, just hearing God's voice and obeying his voice is supernatural, because he's speaking to you and he's giving you sound direction. Praise God. You know, a lot of times people look at supernatural things as, you know, laying hands on the sick and seeing somebody recover. Yeah, that is supernatural. But sometimes there's more subtle things supernatural, you know, and as you are faithful in the little things, God will bless you with more manifestations in your life. So the first aspect or the first practical step in walking in a supernatural lifestyle, you must see that God has already given that to you. Just like he told Joshua, see, I've given you the city. See, I've already called you to walk in supernatural breakthroughs in your life. Amen. You've got to see it, because if you don't see it, you can't have it. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 9, a very familiar verse of scripture. We read that in prayer. But it's talking about eyes. We have to have eyes to see. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them, for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, that's important, because when God reveals something to you by his Spirit, that's supernatural. Amen. That's above the natural. You didn't get that information in a dictionary or an encyclopedia on YouTube or Instagram or nothing like that. That came to you through God. It says, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So if we want to know and experience the deep things of God, it's got to be revealed. Revelation knowledge, it's got to be revealed, you know, and it's revealed to you individually. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moving on, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So the spirit of God knows the things of God, because you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then it says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, because we're born again, but the spirit which is of God. So if you're born again, the spirit of God is already living on the inside of you. And if you feel the Holy Spirit, which I know everybody is, you have the spirit of God in a greater capacity, in a greater measure, you know. So that just by more of God on the inside of you, we need to be more sensitive. We need to be more. Our ears need to be more in tune to the things of God because of that. Amen. Hallelujah. It says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Because we have the spirit of God on living on the inside, we're to know the things that are freely given. And one of the things that's freely given to us by God is for us to walk in a supernatural lifestyle. A lifestyle. We need to know that. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom speak, man's wisdom teach it, but which the Holy Ghost teach it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. Then it says, but the natural man, and a natural man is a person that's walking as a mere man with no sensitivity to spirit, but the natural man receiving not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. When you start talking spiritual things around an unbeliever, they look at you like you're a puzzle, because they can't comprehend. They can't comprehend. I remember years ago, befriending people who weren't saved or dating someone who wasn't saved, and I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a separation, because there were certain areas you couldn't go with that individual, because, you know, there was, you know, the natural minded man cannot receive the things of God. It says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, verse 15, but he that is spiritual, which are us, judgeth all things. Yea, he himself is judge of no man. Verse 16, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who had known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So God can give us segments and portions and bits of his mind as we are sensitive to his voice, to his calling. And that's so very important. All right. So I think we've covered this one enough, the seeing part. Number two is meditate on scripture. Meditate on scripture. In order to walk in a supernatural lifestyle, you must see, and you almost also need to meditate on scripture that promise you a supernatural lifestyle. You know, you got to meditate scriptures that promise you a supernatural lifestyle. Amen. I'm going to give you one scripture right here. You want to, you can turn to it. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Thank you. I didn't overshot my scripture, but I got it. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So thanks be unto God, which God always caused us to triumph. When you triumph, you walk in victory. When you triumph, you are victorious in every area of your life. And when you're walking in a supernatural lifestyle, you need to expect to be victorious, never failing. I mean, even though the situation might look grim, it might look like you're going down, but you can't. You know, cream always rises to the top. You know, cream always, you can put cream at the bottom. It's coming up. You know, Christians, they might, you know, we might be perplexed on every side and things might be going on, but we're coming up. We're rising to the top. You know, just be patient, wait upon God, and manifest your supernatural lifestyle. Because you are a supernatural being, you're going to rise to the top in every situation. Amen. Amen. And I like that word triumph. You know, triumph is has to do with a victory that's won because of a battle. A general and an army went out to battle, and they were triumphant in defeating the enemy. So as Christians, we are triumphant. And you say, okay, well, I'm you know, yeah, we are soldiers in the army of God, but also too, and I'm getting ahead of myself, we have an army of angels working on our behalf. Hallelujah. An unseen army that's there 24/7. And all we got to do is the Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? You know, but you got to give them an assignment. You know, I'm gonna share this with you, and I might have shared it before, but I guess I was in between 8 and 10. I'm not sure what age it was exactly, but I was living in my parents' house, and I got up to use the restroom, and there was a window that I would pass in our den. And as a habit, I'd always just flip the curtains and look to see, you know, what's outside before I went back to my room. It was just something I did. And this one time I flipped the curtains, and I saw this big celestial being, about maybe 8-9 feet tall. He was actually sitting on a pile of lumber. And let me kind of explain it. My grandfather he lived right next door to us. He had a barn or a shed, which was about 10 feet tall. And he had a pile of lumber stacked behind that shed, which is probably about 5 or 6 feet tall. But this angel was sitting on that lumber, just sitting. And when I did this, he looked at me, and I closed the curtain. And then I opened it up again, and now he's standing up. And I'm just perplexed. So I closed it. Then a few seconds later, I opened it again. And all of a sudden, my spiritual discernment went away. I didn't see him anymore. You know, and I often wonder why he stood up. He stood up because he was waiting for me to give him an assignment. You know, that was my ministering angel. You know, I remember talking to my grandmother about it, because I thought, you know, we always think grandmothers are very spiritual. She would always read her Bible, and she was listening. She had her Oral Roberts quarterlies and everything like that. So I told her about it. She said, oh, that was just your grandfather's spirit walking around. He left his body. And that didn't sit right with me, even back then. It didn't sit right with me, you know. But as I pondered it and consulted God about it, God said, that was your angel. You know, and he stood up because, you know, he was waiting for you to give him something to do, right. You know, which I didn't at that time. I didn't know. But I'm saying that to say this, you know, we need to rely on and utilize more the ministry of angels. Let me give you an illustration. I am full of illustrations. When my wife and I first got married, we stayed in this townhome, and I had misplaced my keys. I couldn't find them nowhere. I'm looking all over the place, up and down the stairs, in the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the bathroom. So I went in the kitchen where she was. I said, have you seen my keys? She said, no, I hadn't seen them. I said, I know they're around here somewhere. Then she looked at me dead in the eye. I thank God for a God-fearing woman. She said, have you asked your angels to find them? And I almost got a little, you know, but I said, no, I didn't. I said, okay, angels, go find my keys. And then I went back upstairs a few minutes later. Now, the bed was made up. It was nicely made up. And I knew I had looked on the bed. And when I went back upstairs and turned into the bedroom, my keys was laying on the bed. So my angel located them and put them in plain sight for me, you know. But that's, you know, that's supernatural. That's super. And many, many times since then, if I misplace something, now, without a shadow of a doubt, Angel, go find my keys. Go find my wallet, you know. My wife will misplace her credit card or her bank card. And it might go unnoticed for 3 or 4 days. And I say, we may need to cancel that. She says, no, I got my angels looking for them. You know, sure enough, it'll pop up. She said, yeah, it was in a purse I had that I hadn't used in a while. But it would all, and she never cancels them. She just tell her angels to go get them. Go find them, you know. But, you know, little small things like that, you know, what it's doing is getting us ready for bigger things that God wants us to do. Amen. Bigger things, you know. So let me not get too far ahead of myself, but meditate scriptures that promise you a supernatural lifestyle. Okay, that's so very important. Let me move on. Number three is confess the truth that I live in a supernatural, I live a supernatural life. You got to confess it. You know, confessing it, what it does, it gets it down in your soul. Your spirit already know that, but your soul got to be conditioned. And the more you confess it, the more it becomes a reality to you. Confessing the truth that I live a supernatural lifestyle. Confession helps get that truth, like I said, down into your spirit. Your soul. And with that said, let's go to a verse of scripture. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 14. Now, this scripture a lot of times is used in relationship to prayer, but prayer is basically confessing your need or confessing something to God. So, because when you pray, you know, you're speaking to God, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's a two-way street. You speak, but you got to listen. Okay, and we're going to get to that later. Verse 14, this is 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, which is confession, anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. That's supernatural. When you ask God for something and it manifests, that's supernatural. That's living a supernatural lifestyle. You know, confession. You know, it's not a. We actually did this at the church for a while, where apostle would give us these confession cards with scriptures on it, or confessions where you confess. You know, that's getting your soul renewed, getting the word in there, and then it becomes a part of you. Let me give you an illustration. When I was living in Baton Rouge, now I'm right down the street, about a mile and three quarters, 1.2 miles away, less than 5 minutes. But when we were traveling back and forth to Baton Rouge for Wednesdays and our Tuesdays and Sundays, we passed a lot of banks, especially down Sherwood Forest, a ton of banks. I mean, a bank on this side, bank on that side. And I actually learned this from my wife, and I do it now all the time. I'll not hardly ever pass a bank without pointing to that bank and say, money coming to me now. You know, money coming to me now. So I'm confessing money that's in that bank to come to me. You know, confession, you know. When I feel an ache in my body, you're healed. You know, toe or ankle or arm or elbow, whatever it is, you heal in the name of Jesus. Confessing what you want. You know, a lot of times people take that kind of lightly, but no, that has strong implications, because you're speaking, you know, and you're speaking words out, you know, and those words have power behind them. you know, and to live a supernatural lifestyle, sometimes you got to speak some things into existence in your life. Speak some things into existence. You know, don't just settle for anything. No, start making confessions of what it is you're believing God for. You know, you have to do that. You know, if you want to see manifestation, you need to start confessing some things in your life. Give you an illustration. 20 years ago, we would take vacations to Florida and various places and see these nice $2 and $3 million homes and with verandas and lanais and pools and just beautiful homes. And we would go in them, and then I would confess, I'll be back. I see it. I can have it. You know, I begin to confess that. Confess it, you know, until it became a reality. You know, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. Sometimes we make it longer than what it need be, but you need to confess it and believe it and see that manifestation come to pass. Because confession, like I said, it's going to help get it down into your soul. Need to confess, Lord, I thank you that I live and move in the supernatural. You know, I live and move in the supernatural. Okay, let's move on. The next thing that has to be done, and these are just simple, practical steps. You know, sometimes we overlook them in our lives, but they're simple, practical steps to help us walk in the supernatural more on a daily basis. Now we need to act on what we believe. You know, you got to act on what you believe. A-C-T, act on what you believe. Because, you know, you made your confession, you know, you might have sown your seed, but now you got to act like what you just confessed or prayed has already come to pass. It's already mine. I have it now, you know. Because what that's doing now, that's giving your angels an opportunity to go out there and work on your behalf. Work on your behalf. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again, another illustration. I have two or three, but I'm going to share this one because it was so profound in my life. When my daughter was getting ready to go to college, she had accepted and received a scholarship to the school that she was going to in Atlanta. And we were waiting on some acceptance papers that we had to sign, agreements, what have you. Because they told us they was going to send us some information. And we were going to be going there for an orientation. And in inside of the week, and we hadn't got no paperwork or nothing. So I decided to call the dean of affairs and the admissions department and what have you. And they said, yes, Mr. Cannon, we're very much aware of your situation. And you'll be hearing from us in a couple of days. That's all she said. Okay, well, that's fine. So about 2 days later, the letter came, and I gave it to my daughter. She opened it up, and the letter says, we regretfully are informing you that the companies that was backing this scholarship that you were counting on are not going to back it anymore. And if you want to can pursue your education here at Georgia Tech, you're going to have to find another means of support. And she was crying and she was upset. And I was, you know, I hurt too. But it was a Wednesday. And I looked at her and I said, we're going to church tonight. She said, yeah. I said, you have a job. She said, yeah. I said, I have a job. I said, I want you to sow into apostle. And I'm a sow. And we're going to believe God that this decision going to be turned. Okay. So we went up. She sold. I sold. We shared with him what was going on. He prayed and he said, and we were, this was a Wednesday. We were leaving to go to Atlanta that Friday after work and all. And so we drove a little ways because it was late that evening and got a hotel. My daughter got on her laptop and she was looking at some things and she saw that she had a email from the Dean of Academic Affairs. And, The email said, because you know, we had previously granted you this scholarship, and even though the backers have backed off from supplying money for it, we have decided to grandfather you in, and we will honor the scholarship 100%. Amen. You know, but that's not the whole of it. When we got there that Saturday, and we got there late, and we were way in the back. They had like 2,000 kids there. You know, all of these were, you know, some of the brightest minds in the South. But anyway, the dean of academic affairs, she got up to the podium to speak. And she said, before I begin my speech, I got one thing I need to ask, one question I need to ask. And she says, and she mentioned my daughter's name. She says, is Jessica Calhoun, are you here, darling? Are you in the audience? We were way in the back. And she had to stand on a chair and wave her hand. And then the dean says, darling, did you get my email? And my daughter said, yeah. She said, everything is covered. It's everything's going to be okay, you know. But that let me know how important, and I'm getting ahead of my lesson, how important the seed is. You know, you can't unconvince me of what a seed will do, sown in the right soil. You can't unconvince me because it's been settled too much. But see, that's supernatural what I just stated, you know. And I got tons of illustration of living a supernatural lifestyle. But you know, it's a matter of just applying the principles, applying the steps, and allowing God now to bring forth the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me move on. Okay, we talked about confession. And this one here really should have been moved up to the top. But it's very important if you want to live a supernatural lifestyle, is to pray in the Holy Spirit much, a lot, you know, every day, you know, when you're driving in your car, when you're alone, when you got, you know, few minutes for lunch or whatever, praying in the Holy Spirit. Because what that does, that helps make your spirit sensitive to God's, you know, when God wants to speak. Now, here's the key, and I'm glad I said that, because I said I was going to get back to that. A lot of times people pray, and they pray, and they pray, but they never stop to listen. You know, the key is to pray, and then now give God out. Like I said, prayer is a two-way street, you know. So it ain't about you praying, but be still, the Bible says, and know that I'm God, you know. And God will speak to you about your situation, you know. Is knowing how to listen to that still small voice. And sometimes you can pray, and it might be the next day or so, all of a sudden, when you're quiet, God will speak, and he'll bring you that answer that you've been looking for, you know. So always be expecting him to say something back to you, because he will. The worst thing, and here's another key element too, I'm just adding on stuff to it. It's very important when God do speak to go ahead and carry out the assignment or whatever he tells you to do. That's vital, because if you hesitate and you don't do it, you won't get step two. Amen. You know, because he's waiting for you to fulfill step one. Amen. You know, a lot of times people, what do you mean? Go sit down in the parking lot and clean up, or go do something on the job that don't even, you know, well, why you want me to do that? That's not my job. Well, why you want me to go and pick up nuts and bolts down the alleyway? You know, that's not even my area. But he's looking for your obedience. He's looking for your obedience. Just little small things that may not even in the natural make sense. But once he sees that now, you're going to obey me in this area? Okay, now I'm going to speak to you in other areas more precise to your situation or circumstance that you're dealing with. You know, so always carry out that assignment, God, you know, because by doing so, God sees your faithfulness and your obedience to serving him. You know, I found that out, you know, early on in life. And so when the Lord, I'm gonna give you an illustration. When I first joined Word of Life Christian Center, or before I joined, I would come periodically. And most of the times my wife would come and she would sneak off when I was working shift work or working on Sundays. And then she would ask me sometimes, "You want to come?" I said, "No, I don't think I want to come." And the reason why, and I feel ashamed of it, but it was just the first time I met Apostle, I never had anybody to read my mail the way he read my mail. You know, I mean, it was almost like, "What did you tell him about me?" You know, but he looked at me and he said, "Son," he said, "you need to be pastored." He said, you need to sit under the word and be nurtured. He said, "You have a call on your life, but that call needs to be nurtured. And I'm not asking you to leave your church, but you can come and sit and glean from my ministry, you know. But I'm just giving you some advice." And I said, "Yeah." And that scared me, because I mean, certain things I knew, but I wasn't ready to accept certain assignments, you know. So I stayed away. But anyway, one holiday season, my wife said, we're in the bed. It was Sunday morning. She said, "You want to go to Word of Life?" I said, "Yeah, we can go." So we get up, and I'm sitting in the old church. There was some metal poles down the center to hold help hold the roof up. And Brother Ron don't know about that. And anyway, I was sitting next to one of those poles in the back and on the end of the row. And an apostle was ministering. He was even operating in his apostolic ministry even then. So I just call him apostle even for those seasons, because things he did to me was apostolic. But while he was ministering, the Holy Ghost spoke. And the Holy Spirit told me, "This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be." I turned around because I thought the man behind me was admonishing me. But it wasn't him. It was the Holy Ghost. And so I had a decision to make. God had spoken. He had put something in my heart. And even though I was kind of apprehensive about initially being a member, now God is telling me, "This is where you need to be." So I got home. I told my wife, I said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that Word of Life, we need to move our membership to Word of Life." She said, "Yeah, I know. I've been waiting on you." And so the next Sunday, we get up. She said, "Where are we going?" I said, "We're going to Word of Life." We get up, get in the car, drive to the church. And when the altar call was given for new members, I stood up. I looked at her. She stood up, and we came forward. And the man of God came down and shook our hand. He looked at me. He said, "Son, when I first met you about a year or two ago, I knew you was going to be one of my members. I knew." And me not knowing anything, I'm saying to myself, "Now, God just spoke to me last week. How are you going to know that?" You know, but I had to learn that there's different levels, there's different ranks in ministry. And sometimes God gives men of God divine insight, divine wisdom. And they can see, just like an air traffic controller, the guy in the plane, he can only see so far. But the air traffic control, he got all these sophisticated instruments. He can see the clouds, and so he can tell you to drop down, go forward, do this, and you better do it, because he's doing that for your safety, you know. So I recognized then that God, Brother Kurt over here, I see him over here. Kurt used to make a statement, and it was profound. He said, "You know, a lot of people speak to God." He said, "But God speaks to apostles." And I said, "Yeah, Kurt, that's you're right about that." I remember him saying that. He said, "You know, a lot of people speak to God." He said, but God speaks to apostle, you know, and that's true. That's a fact, you know. And it's been 33 years, and here I am, you know. But praying much in the Holy Ghost is very important, because by doing that, It helps align you to the will of God. Romans 8 and 26 says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, you know. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because when you're praying in other tongues, you're praying in the perfect will of God, you know. So it's important. That's a supernatural experience. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit some 40 so plus years ago, my life was revolutionized, was changed. Immediately, I began to hear God's voice more clearly. I would pray in other tongues, sit down for a while, read my Bible. God started speaking to me. I remember some of the first words he spoke to me. Son, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love, you know, and I could feel the warmth of his presence, you know, just surrounding me, you know, and I learned at an early age the importance of listening to the voice of God, you know, praying in other tongues, but also listening to the voice of God. Amen. You know, and that's why I say, you know, pray much, you know. Find time, make time to pray in other tongues. You know, even though you know, you may not understand what you're saying, but you, as scripture we just read, you know, the Spirit, it helps our weaknesses, our inadequacies. And sometimes we might not know how to pray for a situation in the natural with the exact words that we need to cover that situation. But when you switch over in other tongues, now all of a sudden you're praying in the perfect will of God, and no words are wasted. And guess what? The enemy now can't interpret what you're saying. So he can't interfere because you cut him completely out of the equation, you know, because you're praying in other tongues. You know, some of my best victories came, you know, by praying in other tongues. You know, some of the best information I got from God came from praying in other tongues, you know, warning me. Staying away from certain people, just you name it. Let's move on. My time is well spent, and I am not going over. That's not happening. Not ever. Amen. Not ever. One thing about this ministry, I've learned to submit and to follow instructions and to follow orders, you know, and that's what I like about it. That's why everything here is so structured. Because there's when apostle says something, you know, he shouldn't have to say it but once, you know, because after that, it becomes a law in this church to these members, you know. And so when he says something, write it down and say, OK, that's rule number 20. That's rule number 30, rule number 40. And go back and review those rules or those things that were said, because until he reverses it, that's the way it's going to be, you know. But that's how you follow instructions. And guess what? That's how you get blessed. That's how you get blessed. Amen. I'm just being honest. That's how you, by following instructions, you're going to get blessed. You know? Amen. Let me move on. Okay. Number six, sowing seeds in sorrow. And I got paraphrased, good sorrow. You know, it doesn't necessarily appear when you first think about it. I'm sowing a seed as a spiritual thing, because you're sowing monetary money, you know, into Saul. But that's supernatural. Yes, sir. You know, some of my, actually, I said praying in other tongues, I had some great breakthroughs, but I had even greater breakthroughs by sowing seed. I shared one earlier. You know, I remember when the land came for sale across the street, and Apostle was going to buy the land across the street that we've been owning for umpteen years. And my wife nudged me. She said, let's go in the back. I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So we went in the copy room. She says, the Lord has impressed me for us to sow a nice substantial seed into the property across the street. I said, okay, let's do it. So we came up, you know, told Apostle we was going to sow X number amount of dollars. And he said, amen. You know, the very next day, Let me show you how important the seed is. The very next day, that was a Sunday. That Monday, my wife gets laid off from her job. The very next day. So the enemy now starts telling you, you might need that money. I said, no, this is a precious seed. You know, we're going to get this seed in the ground ASAP. And so that's what we did. We got it in the ground. You know, praise God. You know, God's going to meet all of our needs. And all that week, they were deprocessing them, you know, by, you know, telling them what this company was going to do for them and trying to outplace them to other companies, other jobs and what have you. And by the end of that week, one of the HR directors saw my wife and they were going from one building to the next. And she said, excuse me, Miss Carol, do you mind stepping out of the line for a minute? I need to talk to you. She says, okay. So my wife stepped out. She says, someone in your department has decided to retire, and we need to keep a certain amount of people in that group. So we are reinstating you, your job, just as though you never lost it. Now, you got to recognize they laid off at that time well over 1,000 people. I can't remember the amount. Out of all of that 1,200 or whatever people, she was the only person who got her job back and within a matter of months got a major, a big promotion and a job a rate increase. Amen. But just think if we wouldn't have sold that seed. You know, I'm too far gone. I'm sorry. I'm too far gone. You can't take that out of me. That's just a part of my life. You know, tithes and offering, you know, that's the first thing coming off the checks, tithes and offering. You know, everybody else got to wait because I know the power of a sown seed, sown in solid, anointed ground. And we know who that is. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle. It'll change your life. You know, I tell my students in the school of ministry, I say, you need to sow and sow some more. I said, never stop. So matter of fact, one of the things I say, man, my time is moving, you never want to go before a man of God empty handed without having a seed to sow. Because that's an opportunity for God to show himself strong in your behalf and change your situation and elevate you to another level. You never know what seed is gonna happen with, but you just keep sowing. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. For you just don't know. All of a sudden, boom, you done rose up to another level. And you don't even know how it happened. Yeah, you know how it happened, but it just boggles your mind sometimes how good God is. You know, one of the scriptures I had wanted to read, matter of fact, it's right here. Genesis 8 and 22, the law of sowing and reaping. You can turn there. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn that in my Bible. I need to read that from the Bible. Genesis 8 and 22. Just reading it because I wrote it down ain't going to be good enough. I need to pull this one from the holy book. Give me a second here. Genesis 8. Let's go 8. Here we go. You there? Genesis 8 and 22. It says, while the earth remained, in other words, as long as the earth is in existence, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth is still rotating on the axis and we're still on planet earth, seed time and harvest is still in effect, you know, and it's going to work. I had uncles and grandfathers who were farmers. I never remember them plowing a field, getting the horse, the mule or the tractor and plowing the field and tilling the soil and got the seeds in the barn and never plant the seeds. You know, there was a time they got the ground ready to receive the seed, and then they would go back and they would plant the seed, you know, and they would cover it up, you know. They would water it, and it would bring forth a harvest, you know. So hanging on to your seed, it's gonna die. It's gonna die on the vine, you know. Plant it. Believe me, it's going to bring forth fruit. Matter of fact, there was another scripture. John 12 and 24. I'm going to just read it. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Okay? But if it die, it abide alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. In other words, when you put it in the ground, it literally dies, but it germinates and it brings forth a harvest. One seed can bring forth a bountiful harvest. One seed, you know. So not to leave and get away from the subject matter. Sowing seed is a supernatural experience. Sowing seed is supernatural because there's supernatural things that manifest when a seed is sown in good soil. You know, amen. So never see sowing as loss. It's a gain. It's always a gain. It's always a gain. It's always a gain. It can't be a loss. You know, it's always a gain. Amen. And that's supernatural. That's supernatural. You know, I thank God for Word of Life Christian Center. I thank God for my man of God and the things I've learned. Because, you know, it has changed and is transforming my life daily. And I'm trusting God is doing the same for each and every one of us. Amen. Number 7, walk in the law of love. You know, walking in love is supernatural because sometimes it's going to take the Spirit of God to constrain you to stay in love. You know, sometimes somebody might bend you all out of shape and you want to rear back at them. And all of a sudden, love, you know, love thy enemy as yourself. You know, love, it'll keep you in a supernatural lifestyle, but it'll keep you from walking in the flesh. You know, you don't want to walk in the flesh. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us." You know, love. And then in Matthew's 22, because my time is moving, I need to move. Matthew's 22:37 said, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Hallelujah. Then he says, "This is the first commandment with promise. And the second is likened to the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hinges all the law of the prophets." You know, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, then loving your neighbor as yourself. That's spiritual. That's spiritual. You know, because the love of God, when you got saved, the love of God was shed abroad on the inside of you. You know, and the more you operate in love, the more you're going to see victories manifest in your life. And a lot of times it'll speed it up because, you know, the enemy is going to always try to ruffle your feathers because he knows if he can just get you out of love, get you in the flesh, when you get riled up, you know, now he has something that he can hold up against you. He ain't walking in love. Look at him cursing and look how he treating those people. And, you know, he don't need no blessing. But when you walk in love, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. You know, love is a powerful spiritual force. So when you walk in love, you are walking in the supernatural. Amen. Amen. And there's sometimes I got to love people from a distance, but I love them, you know, because I know if we get around each other, it'll be harder for me to love you. So keep your distance. I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. But you got to do what you got to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm not going to let not walking in love cause me to miss out on my supernatural experience from God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so very important. All right. Let me see if I can kind of move on a little bit. Let's see. That was actually number 7. Good. Okay. The minute you walk out of love, you walk out the supernatural. The minute you walk out of love, you walk in the flesh, you know. And the Bible talks about how, you know, when you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. You know, so you want to stay in the spirit. Amen. Let me just give you a few small definitions before we go to the last one. What is a supernatural lifestyle? The word super means high grade or high octane, high quality, like high octane gas. When you put high octane gas in your car runs better. It performs better, you know. So super means a higher grade or a higher quality, exhibiting the characteristic of its type to an extreme or an excessive degree. When you walk in the supernatural, you're walking in an extreme, excessive degree. It says, I am extremely blessed to the point that the average person who may call it excessive, but living in the supernatural, you are exceedingly or excessively blessed. You know, so, you know, always walk in the supernatural. Supernatural is above the natural. When you're in the supernatural, you are above the natural or the ordinary everyday lifestyle. You know, who wants to be ordinary? Who wants to be just average? You know, no, half of the people in the world average. You know, God wants us to be above it because getting back to the scripture that I first read, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when we walk in the supernatural, they're seeing us blossom. They're going to run to our light because people out there are hurting. People out there are dying, you know, and they need what we have. And we need, as that scripture says, let your light. I remember as a little Baptist boy, we used to sing that song, let your light shine. How did it go? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it. But it really ain't little, you know, because when you got it up high, it light will dispel darkness every time. Light, just a little light, a little pin light, dispel darkness. So ain't no such thing as no little light. No, you got a beacon. We're beacons. The Bible says we are lights in the world. Amen. Lights in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. All right. All right. Praise God. Okay. And I actually talked about this one earlier briefly because I got ahead of myself. Don't neglect the ministry of angels. We talked about that a pretty good little while, but that's my number 8. Take advantage of the ministry of angels who are here to help you live a supernatural lifestyle. You need to take advantage. I mean, we talked about that earlier. I just couldn't wait. It was my last one, but I think I probably put it in like number 2 or 3, you know, and I actually already gave you examples, you know, but angels, they're for protection. Not only for protection, but they there for anything that you need them to do. You know, no matter what it is that you're going through, you can always summon or ask your angels, I need help. You know, angels, help me with this assignment or this task, you know, and expect to get supernatural help. You know, expect, you're going to get it. Amen. You're going to get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just give you another scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I got 39 minutes. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I got a paraphrase, in every situation. We are to walk in triumph and victory in every situation in our lives on a daily basis. Because God is no respecter of person. If he did it for me, if he did it for apostle, he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Romans 8:17 says, I got 9 seconds. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2001, 2000. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you I'm not going over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And I just trust that the points that I shared were a blessing to you.